Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 1, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." If correctly read, that's Revelation 2, verse 1 through 7. Let's pray for a moment together. Our Lord, thank you for the service thus far. Lord, the singing has been wonderful. The fellowship, our Lord, has been wonderful. The opportunity, Lord, to give to you that which really is yours. And Lord, in our tithes and our offerings, God, the opportunity just to be where we can hear a message from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts today. Lord, I'm ever mindful that all, as a human being, I have the ability to do is speak to men's ears. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today. Lord, I believe when the Spirit of God, when we have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God says to us, Lord, it goes deeper than just our mind and our ears. But Lord, goes down into our soul and our innermost being. I pray, Lord, today that you'd stir us up and help us to be a help. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. I want to, this morning, I don't know where to go from here, but I've preached several messages in the church in the last few weeks concerning John saw. Some things that John saw as we traveled or traversed through parts of the book of the Revelation. But today, I want to, perhaps it'll turn into a series. I don't know. I just know that right now I have one message and a huge burden out of these seven verses on my heart. And I would title the message this morning, John Writes. John not only saw some things that God helped him to see, but John penned down some things that God told him to pin down. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God that we have a God that loved us enough to leave us this record. These scriptures that we have in front of us, they can be, I believe, approached several different ways. They can be approached prophetically, because I believe that in prophecy, these seven churches represent stages in the church age that we live in. They can be approached practically. There's some practical stuff here for us this morning. I want you to listen. I didn't say for you. I said there's some practical stuff in this letter to Ephesus for us this morning. And then it's personal. He says, I want you to write unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. And I believe that really when we get into the Word of God, if we're not interested in the Word of God becoming personal in our lives, we're missing a great blessing. I mean, listen, if God wants to use the Word to bless me, then I say amen. But if God wants to use the Word to blister me, then I say amen again. There's times when I need a blessing, Brother Ralph, and there's other times I need a blistering. I need God to help me, to correct me, to instruct me. And aren't you glad all through the book of Proverbs, that's one of the things that we see the Word of God specializes in, is instruction and correction in our lives. I want to deal with some things this morning. And as far as what John is writing here, And I think the Lord has helped me to break it down into just three simple areas. Hopefully we can remember it. But the first thing that I want us to look at this morning is that John is writing from a position of reliability. What John is telling us, you can count on. You can take it to the bank. You say, well, who does John think he is? I'll show you something here, beloved. It's not John you need to worry about in these verses. The Word of God said unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these things saith he. Hallelujah. This is not John's word. This is God's word. This is the word that he there is none other than the glorified Christ in chapter number 1. And he's writing to the church that he loves dearly and that he gave his life for. I tell you, sometimes news people get in trouble because their source is not reliable. But I'll tell you one thing right now. John will never be in trouble. Honey, he had a source that you can count on that was reliable. This precious old book is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away, the word of God said. Beloved friend, he's writing some things here, and you can count on them. They're reliable because his source is reliable. These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 candlesticks. If you go back to chapter number 1 and verse number 20, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Jesus is walking in the midst. You see, the Bible didn't say he was sitting in the midst. Can I say something to you? Jesus wants to be active among his people. He doesn't want us to be complacent. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants to be active in our lives and in our church and in our families. He wants to be at work in our midst as he passes through the midst. Let's go down now. We've looked at, he's writing here with a sense of reliability. But he's also writing here with a sense of reality. Can I say something without my friend being offensive? It's not my intent to be offensive. But I tell you something, I believe sometimes it would scare us to death if we knew the reality of the condition of the church in the land that we live in today. I believe that John is writing some things here. He's not going to sugarcoat. He's going to tell it like it is. Let's look in verse number 2. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Now realize and recognize that this is not John saying to the church at Ephesus, I know thy works and thy patience and thy labors. But this is Jesus saying. Can I say something right there? Jesus knows all about, by the way.
Jesus knows all about every family at Bible Way. Jesus knows all about our visitors this morning. You can't hide anything from Jesus. Jesus knows everything about everybody. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. You can't tell him anything that he doesn't already know. Now this morning, when you get down here, look at the reality. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Now, that means there was some things at the church at Ephesus that they just wouldn't put up with. Did you know that we're living in a generation, if you have any kind of standard at all, if you believe some things are evil and some things are good, you're labeled, amen? I got a text message last week from Brother Jeff Castle. Many of you remember him. He's been here a couple of times. And they're threatening to kick them out of the prison system in Pennsylvania because they preached out of the book of Genesis on what took place at Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's not just going to go on in a ministry like that. But if our Lord doesn't come soon, and my friend, they're going to come right on into the churches the best way they know how and try to hinder us from preaching the whole counsel of God. But here's the church. God said, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And I know that there's something, I'm going to tell you something right now, we ought to just stop and say praise God. There's some things as a church at Bible Way, we're just not going to put up with. I've never seen one of those signs like they're putting on bathroom doors until this week on the news. I had to ask my wife and daughter, what do those symbols mean? And they were trying to explain it to me. Honey, as long as I'm pastor, there'll be a men's room and a ladies' room. Amen. Don't come in here with one of them trans whatever signs. You say, preacher, you'll get in trouble. God's men stay in trouble for preaching the truth of the Word of God. Male and female created He them, and that has not changed. Don't go down to the nursery and ask a family. Go down there when Laura has the baby and ask Justin, what is it, Justin? Justin, turn around and say, we don't know. Well, that's crazy. They can tell on that little piece of film before the baby's ever born whether it's a boy or whether it's a girl. I didn't mean to say all that, but I done said it and I ain't taking a bit of it back. Here was a church that stood up against evil. And our God commended them for that. Let me tell you something. This is a danger. We're going to get into a little bit later in the reality. Our Lord is commending them right now. But a little bit later, He's going to kind of chasten them and correct them. Let me say this to you. It's easy, listen to me carefully, to grow weary in the fight. How many knows what I just said? You can stand, and having done all, stand. That's what the Bible told us to do. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can grow weary in that fight. Thank God we're still with the King James Bible. A lot of churches give up on that a long time ago. Thank God, Brother Ralph, we're singing the old time songs. A lot of churches give on that a long time ago. Thank God we're in the house of God and somebody can say amen, somebody can shout, somebody can testify. A lot of churches give up on that a long time ago. But I'll tell you something right now. Sometimes when you're fighting the good fight of faith, you get weary. You get weary. But God gives strength. The word of the Lord said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God will strengthen His people in the way. Look at the reality here. We go on down. He said, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. To be an apostle of the Lord Jesus, you had to have seen the risen Christ. And so you had people coming into the church here at Ephesus saying they were something that they weren't. Let me say this to you. This would be a good place to interject this right here. Beloved, in this generation especially, there needs to be some checks and balances in a church. You can't take everything and everybody at face value. Help me right there. There needs to be some checks and balances in a church. And I believe with all of my heart what Ephesus was doing right here, the reality was they were going to check it out. They were going to see. And the Bible said they found them to be liars. They borne. They had patience. And for my name's sake, they labored and has not fainted. Now listen, these words here, when you study them out, it's not just talking about a 5 or 6 hour, 7 or 8 hour or 12 hour shift, labor, go home. No, buddy, these people, I'm telling you, day in and day out, they were at the point of exhaustion working for the Lord. Ephesus was a center. It was a hub. And lots of things were happening from that center here in this New Testament church. But listen, the reality not only is that this church had a lot of things right. Listen to me carefully. Ephesus had a lot of things right. A lot of things. But Brother Steve, the main thing was wrong. Listen to me carefully. I'm speaking from experience. I believe it's a trap. Brother Thurman, I believe it's a trap. If the devil can't get us off in sin, he'll get us so busy serving God that we just don't have time to love him like we used to. We're just trying to fit in a chapter here and there, where we used to sit down and read chapter after chapter and just soak it up like a sponge. How many knows what I'm talking about this morning? They were doing a lot of things right, but the main thing was wrong. What was the commandment? The greatest of all the commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your body, with all your soul. And the second is likened to the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, take all the law, all the commandments, hang them right there. If those two are right, the rest of it will fall in place. Now listen, John is writing. It's a reliable source. He's writing with authority and reliability. He's writing with reality in mind. The Bible said in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I want to give you something this morning. Please bear with me just a moment. There's a list that I want to share with you this morning that I believe will help us. It helped me. Now listen, there's several things that can indicate that you or me, or you or I, wandering from our first love. The first would be you delight in someone else more than you delight in the Lord. The Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The second one would be, your soul does not long for times of rich fellowship in God's word or in prayer. Is everybody listening? Help me say amen. Number three, when you're wandering from your first love, your thoughts in leisure moments do not honor the Lord. Does anybody have a battle right there? Number four, you make excuses for doing things that displease the Lord, claiming, I'm only human. Number five, you do not willingly and cheerfully give to God's work or to the needs of others. Number six, you cease to treat others as you would treat the Lord. Number seven, you view Christ's commands as restrictions to your happiness rather than expressions of his love. I'll say this to the teenagers. I say it humbly. I was a teenager, and there were times when I just wished my dad would have turned me loose. But I'm so glad now. The restrictions weren't to harm me. They were to help me. And our Heavenly Father's the same way. There are things out there that will poison us. We were out the other day working on the shelter. And God has just kind of redirected as we go along. We're just kind of working our way through it. Brother Houston said it used to be the Three Stooges. Well, I guess there's about six or seven Stooges now, Brother Houston. Amen. When somebody gets ready to turn around with a two before, the other five better duck. Amen. But at first, we were going to, you know, put in a little vanity in each bathroom. You need a place to put the cleaning supplies. You need a place to put some toilet paper and some paper towels. And so I thought, boy, that's a great idea. We'll just put in a little vanity there. And then I got to thinking, little children, the cleaning supplies don't need to be where the little children can reach them. So there's a wall that turned out there that's going to be a perfect place for a cabinet about that wide. We'll put it up high. Why? Because there are some things that the little children don't need to reach. If they reach them, it could harm them. We'll get the same job accomplished. Can I tell you there's some things in this world the devil would like for you and I to reach out and grab onto, but God said, don't reach out, don't grab on, run, flee. My friend, flee the very appearance of evil. Why? Because it'll harm us. It'll harm the church, harm our testimony. Sometimes people see restrictions to their happiness. That's how they see Christ's commands instead of expressions of his love. Number eight, you strive for affirmation from the world rather than the approval of the Lord. That's an indication you've left your first love. What others think about you is more important than what he thinks about you. Number nine, you fail to make Christ or his word known because you fear rejection. That's an indication you left your first love. Number 10, you refuse to give up an activity that you know is offending a weaker brother. Maybe it's legal. But God tells us not just whether it's permissible or not. We ought to ask ourselves the question, would this harm a weaker brother? Paul believed that so strongly. He said, if meat makes my brother to offend, he said, I'll not eat meat the rest of my life. That's how strongly Paul believed that. Number 11, you can be complacent. You become complacent towards sinful conditions around you. Number 12, you're unwilling to forgive others. These are just some indications that something's gone awry with our first love. I'll tell you something this morning. That's a pretty heavy list. Somebody say amen. Perhaps you can sit there this morning and perhaps you can go down through all 12 of them and say, check, 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 check. I'm in good shape everywhere. I'm glad for you if you could. Because I believe that if we'd be honest for ourselves, with ourselves, there's a pull from this world like there's never been before. And God wants us to see the reality when we have left our first love. The reality is they had a lot of things right, but they had the main thing wrong. The main thing was wrong. John writes not only with reliability and not only with reality, but aren't you glad, thank God, that John writes with the remedy? I don't know. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to go into any detail at all, but
I talked to my doctor the last time that I saw the doctor about a couple of different tests. And he said, I don't do them. And I said, why not? He said, because if it comes back positive, we're very limited in what we can do anyway. We can't change the outcome. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that when God's people drift, there is a remedy. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a way that we can get back to that place of blessing. The Bible said here, look in verse number 5. We'll look at the remedy. The first word is remember. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Can I ask you a question this morning? In your mind's eye for just a moment, would you go back with me? Brother Mark, I don't believe Cheyenne will ever forget that late afternoon in that office when our Lord picked that burden up off that youngin', and that frown turned into a smile. Can you go back with me for a moment to where the Lord, Brother Ralph, I think you said it was a Christmas play. Is that right, brother? Can you go back with me for a moment? You remember how sweet it was? Do you remember how unashamed you were? Do you remember, I believe all of us experienced this that have been saved. Do you remember how we got up from there? And I mean, we determined with a holy determination, I'll never make one mistake again. I'll live for God the rest of my life. I'll be holy. You remember? Didn't take too long for reality to set in, did it? We said something we shouldn't have said. Listened to something we shouldn't have listened to. Help me. Looked at something we shouldn't have looked at. Thought something we shouldn't have thought. And found out we were still in the flesh, Brother Rose. But I'm asking you to remember. Do you remember that first love? Do you remember? Honey, I'm going to say this morning. If you don't remember that, I'd run to this altar and I'd ask God to save my soul. Because I believe everybody that's ever been saved by the grace of God can go back in their mind to that time. They may not remember the date, but they can take you to the place where the God of heaven removed their sin burden. Saved their never dying soul. I go up and down Carter's Valley. Years ago, I was pastoring at Liberty Baptist down in Carter's Valley, and I drive up and down Carter's Valley about every time I come to the church. I'd just rather take the country. There's a carport, brother. There's a carport. I look over there at that carport, and the Lord led us to have some cottage prayer meetings. I look over at that carport where a man by the name of Jim Pat, he attended a cottage prayer meeting. And the God of heaven got a hold of his heart. Now, if I remember the carport, wonder how Jim Pat thinks about the carport when he goes through there. I believe with all of my heart, one of the first, you see, let me say this to you, please help me right here. One of the things the devil don't want us to do is slow down long enough to remember. Brother Lance, he wants us to be running at a breakneck speed, wide open. Same thing with moms and dads. He don't want you to remember when you were holding those teenagers like this, when you were rocking them. He don't want you to go back and remember how you prayed and asked God to give you youngins. He wants you to forget all about those blessings. Because the more blessings you forget about, the colder your heart will get. And the more distance will develop between you and the God that loved you.
and gave himself for you. The first part of the remedy is remember. Just remember, John said, in his, as he writes to the church. Remember when, where you've fallen from. And then he said, don't just remember. Listen to me carefully. A lot of people be glad to remember. But he said, don't just remember. He said, I want you to repent. I want you to say, Lord, this is not right. There was a time when I loved to pray, a time when I loved the Bible, a time when I loved to go to church, a time when I loved to tell people about Jesus. And Lord, my heart has grown cold. He wants us to repent. You see, I believe it's a mistake to preach repentance only to sinners. Honey, I believe the saints of God need repentance as well. We need a place to turn. By the way, there's a good verse of scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Here's where we're at. We think if I'm not committing adultery or I'm not looking at pornography or I'm not drinking liquor or I'm not doing drugs or I'm not in some kind of illicit relationship, oh, I'm not wicked. But I'll tell you, if we leave our first love, it is wicked. In the sight of God. It's wicked. He said, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. I'll be honest with you. Listen to me carefully. I believe we're trying to lay a lot on the steps of the White House in this nation that don't belong on the steps of the White House. I believe it belongs right out there on the steps of God's house. I believe we've grown cold. We've grown complacent. Brother Mitchell, I got a letter from him the other day. He was talking about the arguing and the backbiting in politics and asking for prayer for our nation. Let me just say to you, we are in a mess, but it's not all the White House's fault. God's people have grown cold and indifferent. Amen. The remedy. Remember. Repent. Then he said, do the first works. You could write the word repeat right there. If what we did after we first got saved was right then, it's still right today. It's still right. Repeat. Do the first works. Live like you used to live. Love like you used to love. I'm going to say a couple things right here. I didn't write any of this down because I wanted to be led completely by the Spirit of the living God. Let me just say this. You take a church this size, everybody fall in love with Jesus, you'll never have to beg for a nursery worker. You'll never have to beg. I looked at the Bible school list this week, blank after blank after blank. I thank God for all them that's filled in, but there's a lot of blanks. You say, preacher, I'll tell you what will happen. When people fall in love with Jesus, they'll fall in line for Jesus. Amen. And my friend, listen, everything that needs to be done will get done for the glory of God. There's not one thing that falling in love with Jesus won't fix in any family or in any church or in any life. There's not one thing that falling in love with Jesus will not fix. God said there's a reliability factor here in what John is writing to the church. There's a reality in what John is writing to the church. But thank God there's a remedy. And what John is writing to the church. I've not preached all this out. I may come back and pick this up tonight. But there's a message here. John writes. You say, preacher, I wish John hadn't wrote that. Can I tell you, I'm glad he did. Brother Rose, if a church in that first century could leave their first love, how much more so in this century that we live in? Would it be possible for a pastor, for his people, to leave their first love? I tell you, I read this and I'm going to close with this. The title of it is Love for God. Please listen to it. We'll give the invitation. My God, I love thee, not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet because who love thee not are lost eternally. Thou, O my Jesus, thou didst me upon the cross embrace. For me didst bear the nails and spear and manifold disgrace, and griefs and torments numberless, and sweat of agony, yea, death itself, and all for me, who was thine enemy. Then why, O blessed Jesus Christ, should I not love thee well, not for the sake of winning heaven, nor of escaping hell, not from the hope of gaining aught, not seeking a reward, but as thyself hast loved me, O ever-loving Lord. So would I love thee, dearest Lord, and in thy praise will sing, solely because thou art my God and my most loving King. Years ago, the Lord gave me a statement that I believe he wants me to repeat right now. It's one thing to love God for what he's done and for what he gives. It's another thing to love God for who he is. The Word of God said, for God is love. I believe that our Lord is pleased when God's people love him with all their heart, with all their might. I've been studying and reading, and the Lord has convicted me. Thinking about Olivia. What would I want Olivia to say as I've looked at this passage? My determination and my desire is that she would say, my papa loved Jesus. She's getting to that point where she can repeat things. I was, old timers call it acting a fool. I was acting a fool with Aubrey and Olivia the other day, and Aubrey just came out and she said, Papaw's a nut. And Olivia, just plain as day, said, Papaw's a nut. I hope I can live in such a way that one day she'll say, Papa loves Jesus. Papa loves Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for this service, this time we've been able to spend together. Lord, as we have this time of invitation, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts. God, that someone would remember. Someone would repent.
someone would return to their first love. There could be people here today, Lord, that have never known the joy of sins forgiven. Maybe they don't have anything to remember. God, it's my prayer today that you would just speak, Lord, to hearts. Draw the saved to your side and draw the sinner as well.